Welcome back to the Golden Age of Baseball with Eddie Robinson. This podcast is another extra inning special where Eddie answers the questions fans write in. And now, here's Eddie.
A little bit more about memorabilia and what makes it so interesting. Even back in those days, there was a fellow in New York, his name was Ed Mosler. And he was the owner of the Mosler Safes Company. That was one of the big safe companies in the world. And he was such a baseball fan, and he was one of the first collectors that I knew. I knew him as a personal friend. He just loved baseball. And when I was with a visiting team and we went into New York, Ed would call me up and we'd have lunch or something together, and he would get me theater tickets, and he just did all sorts of nice little favors for me. He used to give a dinner prior to the bat dinner, baseball assistant team dinner, which was a dinner that the commissioner's office put on for needy ball players, and they raised money by having this fancy dinner in New York. Every year they had it and invited a lot of players to come up, and every table had a former major league player at the table, and then they had players speaking. And it was a great affair. They'd have over 1,000 people at the dinners. And Mosler would always have a dinner of his own prior to it and invite his special friends to that dinner. Mosler, you know, I saw him year to year and saw him often, particularly when I went to New York. But when I was in Baltimore, after I had retired as a player, and it was my first year as a coach and front office, kind of dabbling in scouting and player development. I was with the Orioles at finishing out 1957 season. And Hoyt Wilhelm was on the team. And Hoyt had a knuckleball. It was just almost unhittable. He pitched a no-hit game for us that year. It wasn't many days after he pitched the game that I got a call from Ed Mosler, and Ed was in New York, and he called me and said he would really appreciate it if I would ask Hoyt to give him the shoes, the spikes that he wore that day he pitched his no-hitter. Well, sure, I would do anything I could for Mosler, so I asked Hoyt if he'd give me his shoes. He said, "Well, that's a funny request, but I'll give you my shoes at the end of the year." And he did. At the end of the season, he gave me his shoes, and I sent them to Mosler. That's the extent that guys used to go to get memorabilia, not to sell, but they had the collection of their own, and they were very proud of it, and they wanted the collection to show people. Then it grew where people began to auction it and sell it and even fake it. Some of the signatures are not authentic. They now have people who authenticate signatures to make sure that if you're going to pay some big price for a baseball or a glove or a signed object, it's a real signature. One of the things that I've kept over the years, it's not the original, it's not my original glove, but it's a Bill Doak baseball glove. It's not a mitt, not a first base mitt, nor a catcher mitt. It's a glove. And Bill Doak was a pitcher, but he had an agreement with this glove company, I think it was Rawlings, and they made a Bill Doak glove, and it became very popular. And when I was a kid, getting very early in my baseball playing days, I guess when I was in high school, I bought a Bill Doak glove, and it was a very fancy glove. I was an outfielder. I could really catch the ball and go get it. But I wasn't very fast, but if I got to the ball, I could catch it. Therefore, I bought a regular outfielder's mitt or fielder's glove. I bought a fielder's glove. It so happened that the kids' team that I played on, Charlie Osmond's Cubs, the first baseman had to move out of town. I hadn't even gotten the glove broken in well when they said that they needed a first baseman and I could catch the ball so well. They decided they were going to put me on first and make a first baseman out of it. Well, I couldn't afford to buy a first base mitt, and I had the new fielder's glove, so I just played first base in the Bill Doak glove. I have a Bill Doak glove. It's of sentimental value to me. I don't think anybody else in the world would want a Bill Doak glove, but it means something to me because it was the same kind of glove that I played with. And a friend of mine who played on the team with me in Paris, he had the glove. And before he died, he said, "Eddie, I know you'd like to have this glove, and I'm going to give it to you." And he did. Pinky Griffin, our second baseman, had a glove from that era, a Bill Doak glove, and he gave it to me. And that's one of my memorabilia objects that I'll keep forever and hope it stays in my family. You can go on and talk about memorabilia for a long time, and I don't think I'll talk about it anymore, but that is a very interesting topic.
If you have a question for Eddie or would like to suggest a topic for him to discuss, please email eddie.robinson65@yahoo.com. And for an even deeper dive into the golden age of baseball, read his autobiography, Lucky Me, My 65 Years in Baseball, which you can find on goodreads.com and on Amazon. The executive producer of the Golden Age of Baseball is Greg Ricks. Our engineer is Mark Robinson, and our podcast coordinator is Abby Robinson.